You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
Hello, friends. I'm Lee Brown, and you are here with Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where we love to tell stories. But today's episode is slightly different because we're going to talk about an educational angle and an opportunity to grow and learn about financial stability. And I know that doesn't sound exciting, but wait until you meet Stephanie Melbourne and Erica Rawls and you hear about the project that they're doing to help bring home ownership, property ownership, investor ownership to more of our neighbors than ever before. You're going to really enjoy these ladies. So tune into the conversation. Make sure you check out the show notes and I'll see you on the other side. So Stephanie, you're going to kick it off for us a little bit today, since according to Erica, you're in charge, which I love the leadership that says we have other leaders here. Talk to them.
Yes. Well, I am going to kick it off today. And thank you for having us on our show to talk about house, then the car. I love the concept house, then the car, because a lot of our generation tends to buy the cars, buy the expensive cars, and they're running around with these $700-$800 car payments when that's really affecting their ability to purchase a home. So we're trying to get the message out, hey, buy your house, then go buy your car. So we're not telling people don't buy a car, because we know everyone does not live in New York City where you can catch a train, catch a taxi, or anything that's really convenient and close. So we know that you need a car, but we want you to be practical about your decisions and choose something where you're paying something that's really affordable that will put you in a great position to purchase a home. So that is the message that we're trying to send out to the community, because we want you to get your house before you get
the car. So let me ask you guys a question. What was your first car? Stephanie, what was your first car?
So my first car was a hand-me-down. My parents gave me their Taurus station wagon. So it's not
sexy.
The most stylish.
Okay, I don't feel bad.
Yeah, it's not the most stylish. However, that year was 1997. And so I'm aging myself, but it was 1997 and it was perfect for me. So I was just happy to be driving a car. So that was my first car.
Erica, how about you? What was your first car?
I was going to say, at least your car exists. At least I don't think mine does. A Plymouth Sundance, does that still exist?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think Cash for Clunkers wiped out the last one.
Yes. It was silver. I thought I was big time with that used Plymouth Sundance. I did. So.
Well, I'll tell you, mine was a 1982 Honda Civic wagon, and it didn't have air conditioning, but the heat worked all the time, and the seats were coming up, but it was an $800 car, because that was the money that we had available. We didn't have a lot of extra, but my parents didn't believe in great amounts of debt, except for mortgages, because I grew up as a child of a realtor. So I was lucky that I had a parent telling me all the time, You got to plan for this, and you don't go underwater, because his income looked like this, like every other realtor. We had good years as a family, mm-hmm. and then we had the years where we ate our favorite supper was called hot dogs and eggs, which was a hot dog cut up into some scrambled eggs, because that didn't cost but nothing. But I was trained in that space. And so the reason I ask you all that question, I mean, look how much love we still have for our own little sad first car. So we were grateful for it.
Yes.
What do you think has caused the shift between our little heartfelt memories of our cars to the young people of today? We know we're mainly talking to millennials and Generation Z when we're talking about getting your financial priorities in line and getting your house in order. Why do you think they are so focused on that high car payment and the different financial priorities are backwards than how you and I grew up?
Two words.
Well, I definitely think that social media plays a huge role in
Yeah, the two words, Erica. Yes.
Exactly the two words, yes.
But you, yeah. know, you know,
social media is just.
Do you think you get more likes with your Ford Taurus wagon and more comments than you would with some shiny brand new car, though? You don't think so?
Yeah, not
I would
at
make
all.
It, I would make a comment.
Not at all.
But I'm middle-aged. I guess
I would definitely get the comments. I would definitely get the comments. I don't know about the likes, but for sure, hey, I'm going to get the comments. That's most definitely the comments. But, I mean, it's such a, it's a show. It's about a show. So social media is a huge proponent of that whole I'm going to show. And really and truly, we don't know the real behind these photos. We don't know if someone really has this car. We don't know if someone's really on vacation. I have seen photos exactly. where people, and you mentioned hot dogs. I saw just the most recent one. Someone put two hot dogs together and it made it look like some legs. And it was like a picture showing out of the windows. They were making it look like they were on a beach. And
oh, that's the kind of thing you can't unsee. But speaking of the photos, I know it happens in Miami all the time that some people get the Lamborghinis and they even charge you some money to stand there and have your picture made with it, which frankly, you could still buy a house if you would just take a picture with a car instead of buying it. And you guys have been working in this space for, I guess, 2 years now, because the idea for this house and the car campaign, if I'm remembering correctly, launched in the fall of 2019. So as you've worked on your messaging and you've been putting the concept out there to your realtor public, because you want your realtor public to be able to explain to all the lives they touch, plus the public to understand their realtor should be, or the realtors too. So we are speaking to the larger audience here, could be talking to them about 3 years from now, 5 years from now. What are we planning for? So what to you has been the biggest aha moment in both sides, because I think we're talking about the professional side and also the public side. Have you had any surprises in your messaging?
Surprises in our messaging. I think we were consistent with our messaging. I believe the way people are receiving it was the biggest surprise to me, because our initial focus was millennials. That was our initial focus. However, as the program actually progressed, we noticed that it wasn't just the millennials that needed to understand conceptually what's the best way to purchase a home and how to be financially ready to purchase a home and why it's important to purchase a home before a car to set you up foundationally. That was the biggest aha for me. Like, we're finding out that 70-year-olds, just last, was 2 weeks ago, the creator of this, Donnell Williams, he was on, what was it, Sirius XM, Stephanie, wasn't it? Sirius XM show. There was a 70-year-old woman that actually DM'd us during the show saying how valuable this information was to her. 70 years old, yes. So I believe that our messaging has not changed. It's actually amplified. However, the reach that we're actually seeing, it's not just focused on, the idea was to focus on millennials, but it seems like it's spreading across a more generations, a wider generation.
All right, so that's wild. I think we would all assume that a 70-year-old at some point in life would have, I guess, by osmosis, absorbed this information. So when you got that message, I mean, I got goosebumps when you're talking.
Right?
It means it's a Holy Ghost moment. So when the Holy Ghost showed up in the DMs with this 70-year-old lady who had her light bulb come on, what was your response to her besides, we'll be glad to help you, we're delighted to be your resource, but how do you respond? It's so different, right? That's baby boomer. I mean, obviously we're Generation X, the forgotten generation in the middle, but that's a massive generational reach.
Yeah, for sure. So when we actually DM'd her, she just felt led to give us her whole story, as if like she lost her husband and she's really appreciative of the what we're doing and the reach that we actually have in our community. So I was really excited about that. So I knew at that point we had more responsibility than just talking about, okay, housed in the car. People are looking for help. They're looking for a resource. So that to me is just like profound. It's larger than us.
It's enormous, which can make it daunting because then you feel like you're trying to solve all the problems of the world. But in reality, you guys are in this space of creating a better set of financial priorities so that people can have a different future, right? Because it's all connected to the 25-year-old making better decisions now is not the 70-year-old who later on says, I wish I had known this when I was your age. And I think we could probably all agree that there's a gap educationally in financial background. Not everybody has a history of home ownership in their family. Not everybody has a history of people who avoid debt. And not everybody has a history of being taught how to future cast and plan for something. Mm-hmm. So knowing all of those things, what are you guys seeing as the opportunity, I mean, beyond the podcast, because you guys are putting out great information, but I can see it in your face, Erica. There's like this big, giant future that's beyond the podcast. How do we help our 70-year-olds not get to 70 and feel lost? And how do we help our younger generation make better decisions now in a social media world?
Yeah. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, just like you said, it's about the education. And so it is a social media world. However, we are finding and are surprised that more of the older generation, they're taking to social media to find things out. They're all over Facebook. So they might not be the Instagram and the TikTokers, but they're definitely on Facebook. So we want to make sure that we have a platform that is based on social media. And of course, when we are able to reach out to the community and visit somewhere in person, we have not had a chance to really do that due to the pandemic, but we do have plans to go out into the community. We have plans to continue with our virtual platform. So we do have some Zoom events that are set up for the rest of this year as well.
Mm-hmm. So do you see the opportunity as going into high schools and meeting with students, or is it going to the church communities? And where do you think there's the best inroads to reach people in a place where they're willing to hear what you say? Because we all know that's part of the challenge is some people are receptive to growth and improvement and some folks are not, and takes them a minute to get over here. So y'all thinking of a specific audience?
I think it's
definitely high schools. Yeah, definitely high schools and churches. We have already partnered with some churches and I've been able to teach some financial literacy classes inside the high schools. So for me, I definitely think that trying to reach even the Gen Zs will help them to not be that 70-year-old.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's even important to mention that it just can't just be Stephanie, myself and Donnell. That's why we have ambassadors. Because this is something that we want to do across the United States. So it's going to take more than just the three of us to get the message across. So specific realtors that are interested or realtors that are interested in becoming, you know, ambassadors, it's important for them too, to spread the word. People that have the same objective and mission and they understand the vision, able to cast it properly in order for us to get the message across so we can reach more people.
I love that. And I love that you're using one of my favorite words with vision casting because it's the best visual ever. All right. So let's break it back down because we kind of went big picture really quickly because I'm very excited about what y'all are doing, which is why Donnell and I are both like, we're talking about this in November of 2019. But when we're talking to people about house, then the car, the whole premise, by the way, friends, if you haven't looked at this podcast yet, all of the links are in the show notes for this episode. So you can go link and listen, subscribe, and go get excited too, is to help people think about the future financial stability that comes from owning property, whether that's dirt, a house, a condo, a townhouse, a commercial building, any kind of real property. So when you guys are communicating with realtors who sometimes, and we love our people, realtors and realtists alike, and then even real estate licensees who aren't attached to either of the organizations, they get a little bit immediate-minded, and they're looking for the somebody they can help today because they got to get their bills paid too. So I'm not casting judgment, but the real estate business can be very today-focused. What you're working on is tomorrow-focused, next decade-focused, 50 years from now-focused. What's the best tip that you're giving the people in the real estate professional space to help them become an ambassador in their own right to reach people with this message?
I would say for us, we are not only just focused on the future, but our resources for today can be found at housedinthecar.com. So on our page, we do have resources such as the FICO score estimator, those things people can enter their scenarios to find out what is the best credit score that will help them to obtain a house. We also have our budgeting tools. We have an interactive budget. So of course, you need to know how much money that you need to have. And so this can help you today with your budget. We also have our down payment resource. So people that are looking for a home right now, even consumers can go online and they can search for down payment. They can type in an address and it will give you all the down payment of programs that are attached to that address or a specific area in town. So these are things that we do have available for those who want to do things today. So ambassadors, there's so many resources available that we have. Also, people that are interested in becoming real estate agents, we do have a link to school. So and classes that are on our website. So it's not just real estate for the future. It's not just house in the car for the future. It is today. Now we are wanting to help the community. Now we want to help the realtors and realtors right now to make a difference. So house.com has all your resources.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I should remind you too, that if you go to those resources and you've decided you're thinking about real estate as your own career, and you're maybe seeing your way to help your neighbors and your community by real estate, there are so many career paths besides just the regular realtor role. There's appraisal roles. We have a major shortage of appraisers right now. So there could be a space there where as you're getting educated about your own real estate needs, or your clients are over there getting educated, they might be the next great appraiser in the market, home inspector, stager, commercial real estate person, the corporate licensed salaried real estate person. I think sometimes we forget that when we look at the entrepreneurial world of real estate, there's a zillion different pathways that sometimes don't get exposed until you've been in the business for a minute. So if you're giving great advice to somebody who's listened to the podcast and they said, you know what, I'd much rather have an Instagram post of me in front of my first rental house because that's going to get me way more excitement than just a car. What's the first piece of advice you give to the consumer who finds your information resources? Is it to check their credit? Is it to go to a financial advisor? Is it to call a realtor or a realtist? What do you think their very first step is?
So you can actually take any one of those people.
No, Erica, pick one.
I know the financial advisor would be great because then one, a lot of people don't have a financial advisor. So just having a financial advisor would be great. The sooner that you start, the quicker you're going to become a millionaire or how many heirs you want to be, right? Because then they'll be able to set you up with all of your assets. So financial advisor, I think, would be the best one. So if you're listening to this, that would be my suggestion. Then after that, you want to figure out, okay, so I want to build my portfolio because you're talking about investments, my first rental. So how big of a portfolio do I want? How much is that going to cost me? What's going to be my down payment? Right? So the financial advisor can help you. Then hopefully that financial advisor has a great relationship with the realtor. I know I have a couple of financial advisors I have great relationships with. So it's a give and take. Oh, I have a great realtor that you should be able to meet. So sit down with your realtor, have a buyer consultation, and they'll be able to talk to you about what steps you can expect at each stage of the home buying process, whether it's investment property or your first residential home.
I love how everything you said, Erica, dials right back to education. Yes. And I'll point out that if you are not a real estate professional and you're listening to this, you want to make sure that your professional realtor relationship is somebody that consults you before they take you somewhere. Same thing with your financial advisor.
Say it again.
If you have one, you might only have $50, but you can still get professional counsel from somebody with an eye for your future growth, their vision casting with you.
Yes.
But if you run into a financial advisor who tells you not to do real estate, you need to run as quickly as your feet will take you, because real estate is a very important part of an investment future, because it's the one investment you can sleep in at night and that you can bring people through. But you mentioned, I mentioned investments. I have to show y'all this young man. So his parents are clients of mine. He graduated from high school this year. I love him. And look at his little skinny pants. I don't understand this style with the high waters and no socks. But I love him. And I sent him his little graduation present and wished him all the best. And said, I can't wait to help you get your first house. And he said, well, Miss Lee, I'm going to have two houses by the time I'm 25. And I said,
love it.
He's already, because he has parents who are investors and who have shown him, like they've allowed their kids to be in the room during the house conversations. Mm-hmm. He's thinking of an empire, because I look at everybody's rental houses as an empire. So what advice do you give to parents of young people, whether they're tinies or they're just graduating high school, like my boy Michael here? What would you tell parents about the information that's available and how they can help guide the next generation forward? Because I don't know about y'all, but a lot of our peers didn't have open money conversations at home. It's a very uncomfortable topic, and people just, they're so lost in the world when it comes to financial management. Do you have any advice for parents?
Before I answer that, Lee, I do want to mention that beginning in September, we will have our Financial Fact Fridays coming back, and we do have access to a financial advisor. So I'm glad that Erica did mention speaking to a financial advisor before you start any process. So House in a Car will have a financial advisor every Friday giving out information. And so this is something that parents can listen to. The parents can link up. This financial advisor is licensed in, I believe, 8 states. And she can refer you to other financial advisors around the country, because we definitely want to start at the financial level first. So parents, I would say my advice to you is to have those conversations. So whether or not it feels or seems difficult, have those conversations with your children, start them on a budget when they're doing chores or when they're doing well in school, or just if they need to do any type of, mom, I want to go to the school dance. Well, how much does that cost? So it's going to cost this amount. Okay, we'll put them on a budget so that they can earn those dollars, and then they'll have that mindset going forward. And then they'll be ready to say, okay, you know what? I think I can purchase my home. I have my mindset on this budget. And they're already wanting to do that. They're already wanting to save. They want to grow their financial portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, amen. So make sure you guys, again, all of the links are in the show notes. Go follow and subscribe. And maybe you should turn these into some family podcast listening times when you have an opportunity to have really important conversations that change everything for the future. And when we look at the future, we look at the numbers, and you guys know the stats as well as I do. The African-American homeownership rate way lags the average rate on the whole. How much of that do you think is attributed to educational gaps and a lack of financial conversations about priorities? I wouldn't say it's anybody's fault, but in households, people don't have conversations. In schools, we don't teach this stuff because I just don't know why they don't have more budget and credit score talk in high school, period. But there's all these gaps. Do you think that's contributed to the home ownership gap?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would say it does. And I think that it's really important. One thing that I learned when I was growing up, just me personally, my parents would talk about finances, but it was only high level. They didn't want to get into the dirty stuff, meaning I would love to know the mistakes that they made. right? So because of that fact, I always made sure that I told my children about the mistakes that we made so that they can avoid them too. And let them know that, hey, you may fail or you may mess up, but you have to fail forward. So that was one of the big things that I picked up from my parents. Love them to death. They did a great job raising me. But, you know, I always wished I knew the dirty stuff about finances and about, because you would hear, oh, well, you got to put money in the bank before that check bounces. Well, I literally thought a check was rubber. Like, I'm like, it's going to bounce? What does that mean? For the longest. So just having those conversations is really important. And I believe that that would actually narrow the gap. But one thing you have to keep in mind, millennials nowadays, they do a lot of research online. They do. So they're coming already prepared, unlike we did, because we didn't have the internet. Or did I just age myself? Maybe y'all.
It's okay, baby. I mean, we're just medium. We're medium.
Right. Yeah. So they have the internet. So they learn these things. So they're more educated. They come prepared. They have the 20% down. More on average, people have about what, 7%, 3.5% down. But more times than not, you're seeing this educated age group where they know more about finances than I did when I was their same age. Buying a house at 22, I was not prepared to buy a house at 22. Was not at all. Wasn't even thinking about it. So I do think education is going to narrow that, would narrow the homeownership gap. However, I think that we're seeing changes already occurring. I really do.
So you mentioned, and before I let Stephanie answer that question too, because I got to jump on something else, the fastest growing segment of home buyers in any demographic breakdown that you look at is single women.
Yes.
So when you were 22, were you married yet?
No.
So do you think that's why it wasn't, if you weren't talked to about it, did you think that was the house belonged to the version of Erica that's found a husband and is then married?
Yes, that is a great point. I never thought of it that way. And now you have these young women that are like, I don't need a man. You know, I know.
You need a good one, friends. When you find the right one,
right,
in the part of your life, marriage is good. Right. Erica's just saying, don't make foolish decisions. That's what she was trying to say to all the young people.
That's what they say to me. Yeah, well, I don't need a man. I make my own money. It's like, oh Lord, okay, that's fine. I got two of those in my house, so.
And we love them very much.
We do love them. We do love them. So yeah. See, now you made me forget the question.
And you know what, Lee, to your point. Yeah, to your point, I was 24 when I bought my first house and I actually was married at that time. And I had just seen my parents purchase their first home maybe, I would say probably just 10 years before that. And so it was already in my head that I wanted to purchase a house. However, I did not want to be as old as my parents. Not to say that they were very old at that time. For average age for first-time homebuyers, they were in their mid to late 40s. However, me buying my first home at 24, I really felt accomplished. But at the same time, I was married at that time.
Mm. It's just interesting how, if you look at things decade over decade, how things move and shift. But I think everything goes back to the educational piece, and it goes back to also what you see growing up. And so, Erica, you saw the big picture, but you wish you'd known the nitty gritty. And frankly, you ought to sweet talk your mom and daddy into doing a podcast episode about the things that they learned along the way that you wish you'd learned from them. That could be a fascinating educational piece. If mom and daddy will say yes, and I'll mail them some pound cake if they'll do that. And because I like to bribe people with food, because food is my love language personally. And then Stephanie, you're talking about, you were a young teenager when you saw your parents get their piece of the American dream, which inspired in you, oh heck yes, I'm going to do this. And like every other teenager, you said, I can do it sooner, faster, and better because I'm smart.
Absolutely.
Young people do that. But your experience came on the heels of what you saw and what you were exposed to. And I'm so grateful to y'all for putting together a program like House in the Car and all of the different pieces that are coming into play so that you can show the way to people who aren't living in your houses and who don't get to know you on a daily basis. So if somebody's watching or listening to this episode and they want to be a part of this movement, they want to be an ambassador, they want to be part of your team of educators out in the world? How do they become a part of that program? Are you accepting new ambassadors right now? And what's the process look like?
Absolutely. We are accepting new ambassadors. We welcome you with open arms. We want you to be a part of this movement. You can email us at info@housedinthecar.com. We will be to share with you the program details. We do have an ambassador training that will give you full details. So we don't want you to go out there without all the information. We want you to be well equipped. So you can reach us again at info@housedinthecar.com.
All right. So what about somebody who's a regular practicing agent and they don't want to be an ambassador, but they'd love to have all of the training that's provided to ambassadors? Can they participate in that training as well so they can do a better job with their clients? Is that something y'all are open to?
We are open to that as well. They can definitely reach us at the same email address. We are open. Our resources are available to all realtors, all realtors, and even the consumers. So our resources are available. So we want to make a difference and impact the community, not just for ambassadors. So it's open to everyone.
All right, ladies, any final thoughts you want to give to all of the people who have landed on this podcast in whatever way they landed here?
Yeah, I like to give hope. Buying a home is one of the greatest investments that you could ever make in your lifetime. And I know there's a lot of obstacles that you feel as though you have to overcome in order to obtain homeownership. But I'm here to tell you, it's not as hard as it seems. As long as you align yourself with the right people, the right team of people. So yeah, that's what I'm gonna leave the audience with.
You get to salute the duck because you're talking about what the ultimate dream is in America, which is property ownership. Yes. And you're talking about hope. And friends, that's when we salute the duck, because Erica is right there in the space that makes people, they feel different. They live differently when they get their little corner of something. And it doesn't have to be a bazillion dollar house, right? It's just what's theirs. It's the same way we all feel about that moment of accomplishment. It's a big deal. And I love that. I mean, you brought it back, the hope. Okay, Stephanie, you got to stop that. Good luck.
Okay. Well, for me, I just want to inspire everyone to educate, empower, and mobilize the community, especially the African-American community, so that we can increase the African-American home ownership rate. So we have lagged behind other ethnicities for years, and we want to bridge that gap. So that is why we are focused on House Then the Car. And you can reach us at housedinthecar.com. All of our resources are available to you so that we can empower, educate, and mobilize our community.
And that's also a salute the duck moment, because which ones of our neighbors should have the dream of ownership? All of them.
All of them.
Who does this country belong to? All of us. And so that's the whole point here, is that working together with education and with outreach and with each other, we can do really big things. So thank you, ladies, so much for the work that you're doing and for being a resource, for persevering through bad internet, and also for the energy that you bring to the space. It's wonderful. It's appreciated. And all of y'all who are listening and watching, you need to connect, because there's great things that happen in this country, and a lot of it goes right back to property ownership. So go be a part of somebody else's dream, because this is bigger than all of us. And I'm grateful for that.
Thank you, Lee.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lee. Great time.
All right. Go give us 5 stars. Give us a review. Click all of the links in the show notes, and we'll see you next time. As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.